Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Adam McKelvey on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. How are we doing, Adam?
Oh, we're good. We're trying to enjoy our final days here in the icy Midwest.
Yeah, but then you're going to Arizona to see the newly redone ballpark down there.
Can you name it, Sparky?
Fields of Brewers, something.
Fields of Dreams for the Brewers,
whatever.
Right?
Oh, yeah. How many times am I going to screw that up in print?
But you know, I mean, part of it is they just want Maryville's name taken the heck out of it because it has a bad connotation with it.
Maybe they're going to have some corporate naming rights, right?
Yeah, maybe American Family, just a guess. Hey, okay, so let's go over some of these proposals from MLB and the union that they were apparently going back and forth on. A three-batter minimum for pitchers. How does that affect baseball and the Brewers?
I'm not certain that it would impact the Brewers as they're constructed right now because they didn't necessarily use situational lefties until they got Xavier Cedeño late. They're, Hader. I think the way they've described Alex Claudio to us, he's going to be a multi-batter guy and a guy who can pitch a full inning. So I'm not certain that that would have, like, if you're talking about immediate impact on this particular team, you know what would impact them is the front of the game, where they're going to have a guy face three batters
right after
a couple of games, the Dan Jennings game in St. Louis, and then the Wade Miley gambit in Los Angeles. That's a change. So, but you know, in terms of like this is to keep the game moving in the middle innings. I'm not certain that as they're constructed at this second, it would totally impact them.
Universal designated hitter, so the NL will then have a DH.
I don't know if I sound like an old coot for saying this. I'm sorry if I do. I love pitchers hitting. I just think that's the way that's just the game. And that's the way the rules of the game were. And if you don't want the pitcher to hit and you want to bring in the DH, my question would be, why not have 10 hitters? Why 9? Why not have 2 DHs or 3? Like, why is it then that you have 9 batters that come to the plate each inning? Why not have no DH and just have 8 guys bat? Have the lineup be 8.
I'm fine with that.
I just don't love the rule because it just is, there's 9 players.
Well, I think the DH
and the 9 guys bat.
I think there's 2 things to it. I think one, the DH gets older players more longevity in baseball where they can just be a DH if they can still hit at that point. See Paul Molitor. The other part of it is it gets those same guys additional money at the end of the day and more offense in the game instead of the pitcher hitting. And we know how this works, right? Football wants more offense, NBA wants more offense, and Major League Baseball wants more offense.
But if the impetus for a lot of this stuff here is speeding up the game, I'm not certain that more offense is an answer.
That's correct. Yep, I agree.
And it just seems to run contrary to the bigger picture efforts that are going on here. Look, I mean, the players like it because it's also some more jobs.
For sure.
And, like you're saying, those players that can hang on. It is very tough right now for veteran players in Major League Baseball. I saw a study the other day about the average age coming down from a recent peak in, like, the mid-2000s. There were way more, 30-somethings in the league. It is a young man's game right now. GMs all want young, controllable talent. How many times have we heard David Stern say that? And it is creating kind of a bad look for the game in that some veteran players, good players, Adam Jones is a name that's been kicked around and debated the last 24 hours or so. They're having a hard time finding a job when that guy should not necessarily have a hard time finding a job. It's just that these GMs right now, they want young, controllable, pre-arbitration, pre-free agency talent. And to get that, you're going with younger players. DH would be one way to kind of expand that a little bit.
The one rule I think is going to happen is the 20-second pitch clock. I think that's definitely going to happen because the commissioner is hell-bent on getting this game to be played at a faster pace.
Well, it is the easiest change to make to directly speed up the dead time between pitches. I would say the other thing is a lot of these players now that are up are used to this because they've had this in the minor leagues for a couple of years. And if players gripe about that, if pitchers gripe about that in the minors, I'm not aware of it. Like, I've never had a conversation with a guy who's come up and, like, said, you know, thank God I escaped the pitch clock. I just don't think it's that big of a deal to guys. And I agree. That's something that's pretty easy to implement, and I see that happening. The other one I like is expanding the roster to 26 was another idea that I saw kicked around. Players will love that because that's more major league, you know, 30 more major league active roster spots. The way that teams are managing rosters now, there's so much back and forth. It's to a point. You know, it's comical because we're not the ones that have to deal with it. A guy like Jorge Lopez back and forth 5-6 times, Brent Suter the year before, the shuttle back and forth to the minors in order to keep fresh arms because you need so many bullpen arms now to get through games. I think that that's something that a lot of people in the game would get behind is expanding by one roster spot.
Yeah, I was looking at MLB.com on the Brewers part of it, and it was I got excited to see Kane and Yelich on the best duos in the MLB. That was a pretty interesting story. But I want to go to the broadcasting. I read your story on there about people get a chance to see the Brewers. I really was enjoying reading it. You get a chance. They're going to be – you can see some of the spring training starting to, and even hear it on national radio. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, well, there's more – you know, it's a sign that the team is in a good spot. They're broadcasting, 14
telegraph games. Yeah, 8 MLB.com webcast games.
Well, those are big because they are free-flowing. I don't know how many people listen to those, but they're pretty free-flowing, and you get guests in the booth and whatnot. So there still are some MLB.com webcasts. But, yeah, I asked our friends at our rival radio stations, you know, is 19 radio games seems like a lot to me, and they couldn't find anything. Fans are going to get to hear more spring baseball. And, I don't know if they should also be sure to go to Brewers.com.
Do you have any update, Jimmy Nelson update? Because I know pitchers and catchers are going soon. He had some great quotes coming out of On Deck, which was sold out, by the way. Do you have any updates? Do any checking around on him? Or you could tell us next time.
No, the best part for Jimmy Nelson is that there's no update. And that means that he is a full participant in spring training. You know, you're right, Leroy. He filled our notebooks at Brewers on Deck by saying he's looking for the opening day start.
I like that.
That's probably not totally realistic. I mean, far be it for me, a schlub on the couch, to say that this guy's not going to start opening day after what he's been through over the last 16 months or whatever it is. But I think they are going to be cautious with him because there's no rush at the very beginning of camp. But he says, and the team says, no restrictions. He got through the rehab protocol by the end of last fall, and he went down to instructs and threw to some hitters. You know, he got rid of the proverbial red jersey. He is a full member of this rotation. The question is, what does the velocity look like? What do the swings look like once hitters get in the box? That happens actually pretty early in camp, where he should face some hitters. And then what does it look like when he gets into spring training games? Then the next question is just how physically does he hold up? That's going to be a little probably harder to get the answer to because he's always going to say he feels great. But what is a realistic number of innings that he could give them?
What about with the new pitching coach? Does that matter?
Well, I don't know that it matters specifically for Jimmy Nelson, I think for all of the pitchers, that's going to be a big storyline in spring. Because even though Chris Hook knows many of these guys, he was the AA pitching coach and then the coordinator for the system. So he is very well-versed in Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns and Freddie Peralta. And I would say even Jimmy Nelson. But it's a different thing when it's game planning. You know, major league pitching coach is a different job than the coordinator of the system in the minor leagues. So there is going to be a period where Chris Hook is going to have to just get on the same page with the likes of Jolie Chassin and Davies and Chase Anderson and kind of develop the trust that Derek Johnson had. That was one of the, you know, those guys rave about Derek Johnson. And a lot of it was like X's and O's. He's able to find something in the mechanics that made them better. But a lot of it was sort of, you know, like the mental side of the game too, where he was really good at finding the right thing to say to a guy to help the guy have success. So Chris Hook is going to have to find those things with these pitchers, some of whom he's not all that familiar with. And that's going to be a big part of what they do in spring training and the time they spend out on those fields.
Leroy's got one more question for you.
No, I wanted to hold him up. I didn't know how much time you had. I still got a lot of, because I wanted to ask about Grandal and all that. The pitching aspects of it to me is interesting because every time a new pitcher comes out, if it's Baumgartner, then who else they got to add? The name we can't spell, Steve.
Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah, Keuchel. All these come up and people get all enamored, but I thought Jimmy Nelson may have, if he's back, maybe they'll pass on these guys, but maybe they won't.
Well, you know, look, I did my best shot at trying to figure out how the rotation's going to shape up. There's a story on the site now, sort of started my around the horn. And it's really hard outside of Jolie Chassin to say with like 100% certainty, this guy is going to be in the rotation and make 33 starts. And I would say that that is unique compared to other camps that I've headed down to. Usually, you know, maybe there's in a year where there's some uncertainty, there's three spots set and then there's a race for two. I don't know that I can think of a year where I can think of one spot set and a race for four. And look, I'm putting Chase Anderson and Zach Davies and the guys vying for a spot because I don't think anything's guaranteed the way that it went down for those two players at the end of last season and in the postseason. So I think there's, you know, and Jimmy Nelson with his uncertainty about his health, those young guys are really good and they are definitely going to make starts for the Brewers this season. But is Corbin Burns going to make 30-plus starts or are they going to use the flexibility of the fact that he has bullpen experience, the fact that he has options? Is there going to be some movement for the Burns, Woodruff, Peralta? You know, even Adrian Hauser is a guy we don't talk a lot. But, I mean, this guy was a big-time pitching prospect before Tommy John and looked good in relief for the Brewers last year. I think he's a guy who's going to play a role. So I think that, you know, you started, Leroy, by mentioning Yasmani Grandal, and he said something interesting where he referenced his time in Los Angeles, another club with, you know, very analytically driven, and they used tons of pitchers over the last couple of years. And Yasmani Grandal had to adapt on the fly to tons of roster movement, guys going back and forth starting relief, all kinds of different array of pitchers from Clayton Kershaw, you know, one of the best pitchers in the league, to, you know, Walker Buehler just coming in as a rookie. And Grandal had to figure out how to handle each of those guys. And despite what maybe Brewers fans saw at the end of the year where Grandal just looked pretty lost behind the plate, this is a guy who gets pretty good rating, you know, rating for framing, for calling a game, for handling a staff, and that included handling a big staff. So, you know, if the Brewers go at it again, you know, with sort of using depth and a lot of different guys to cover these innings and shifting between roles, I think they found a catcher who's pretty well positioned to handle that because he's been doing it for the last couple of years.
He is Adam McKelvey. You should follow all of his stuff, of course, over at Brewers.com, a part of MLB.com as well. Adam, thanks so much. And
thanks a lot, Adam.
I'm sure you'll enjoy going back down to Phoenix and getting warm again.
Yes, I will. Now, who are we going to see down there? I haven't even talked to any of you guys.
Let's see. Going down there will be Baby Tausch, Gary Ellerson, Tim Allen, Jeff Orlovsky, Bill Michaels.
They won't let me and Sparky go.
Yep, all those guys are going.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think you guys need to get up on the list somehow.
I know, right?
You know, maybe next year. I'm curious to see this new facility.
Yeah, I'm curious to see the pictures from it when you guys start tweeting pictures out.
And
Adam,
just how it is for the fans, you know, how there used to be such great access, and I hope that remains.
Yep.
That's a great
point.
See you
soon, Adam.
I hadn't thought about that part of it. Adam, thanks for the
call. Thanks a lot, bud.
Take care. There he is. Adam McKelvey on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. 5.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.